And we're on our last Sunday study on the topic of the sign of the Virgin. Because it's all because of his birth that we are here today. Amen. It's all because of his goodness that we are here today. It's all because of his mercy that we're able to be here today. And that was all because of the birth of Christ. Amen. And so I'm so grateful for what God has done. And we're going to complete our study. And next month, January 2020. Does that sound strange to anybody? I was talking with my wife about the dates. And when we were in the Holiday Youth Convention, you know what occurred to me? I was looking at about 800-900 young people. And what hit me was they were all born this century. They were all, most of them, 99% of the people that were there that I was looking at were all born this century. And then here was we, born in the middle. The middle of the last century. That sounds really old. Amen. That really sounds ancient when you put it that way. Ancient. Amen. Here we were born not just like on the edge, but way in the middle of the last century. And here are all these 800 young people, and I would imagine 99% of them were all, you know, under 18 or so. And so they were all born this century. And I was looking at them, wow. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Because he has kept us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Our theme verse, and we're going to have to rush because we had so much testimony, is from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Again, I'm so grateful to have my in-laws with me. Amen. Amen. They have a certain magnet here that pulls them here that they can't help it. They can't help it. Amen. And that's great for us. Amen. We are blessed with great, great family. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Amen. And in week one, we covered, the topic was the seed of the woman. And we went into all of the studies and the scriptures that, and the following week it was saved in childbearing, and then life in the blood. And last week was love like no other. And if you look at the words in white, it says seed saved, life loved. And then we're going to do today the marriage supper. Amen. Matthew 22, verse 4. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Amen. You know, in January here, we are planning, or there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a marriage here at the church. And when we think about marriage, it's a celebration. That's what it is. It's a celebration of two becoming one. In this parable that Jesus told, he told the story of the king who wanted to celebrate a marriage. And so he sent and invited his guests, but they all had excuses. They all were busy with something. They were all saying, well, I got to do this. And so he just said, you know what? I'm going to open this up. Amen. And because he opened it up, it applies to you and me. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. So we're going to go back and take our time this morning and do some studying about this marriage supper and how it relates to the virgin. Because in those days, there would not have been a marriage if the lady wasn't a virgin. Do you remember when Mary came and told Joseph that she was pregnant? The Bible said he thought to do what? Well, put her away. He thought, you know what? We have to divorce. This marriage cannot go forward because she's cheated on me. She's betrayed me. She's with someone else. You know, that's what he thought. And you can't blame him, because if someone came to you and said, I'm pregnant, but I didn't sleep with anybody, You know, just think about how hard that would be to believe if it wasn't that the angel came and told him it's true. But, you know, the Bible said he thought to put her away privately, because in those days, a betrothal, an engagement, was also part of the contract. They were, in effect, technically married. It just had not been consummated. And so he thought to put her away privately. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it tells the story. And I'm just going to read this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Isn't that something when God tells you, listen, you found favor? There is nothing better than God's favor. Not money, not jobs, not anything else. When you have God's favor, you know, nobody can touch you. When you have God's favor, you have blessing. Amen. You have direction. You have healing. You have promise. You have life. Amen. You have found favor with God. And verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, verse 34 was the key verse here that I wanted you to pay attention, because remember what I said. I said that for there to be a marriage in those days, she had to be a virgin. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In our thinking, certain things can't happen unless someone does it for us. How can I get through 2020 unless, you know, this happens or that, unless I have a job, or where am I going to live? Unless, and we always are thinking in terms of human agency. Unless someone does it, how can I get my wallet back? Didn't someone have to pick it up and bring it? God hid that wallet, covered it over. It's amazing that the person, because where it was found was nowhere where she was. That means someone did pick it up. Who knows? Maybe God moved it. Who knows? But Mary thought, this thing can't happen unless there be a man involved. I can't get pregnant unless there's a man involved. I can't get blessed unless someone gives something to me. You know, that's how we think. How am I going to make it unless I get a job, or unless the Lord, you know, a person does it? She said, I know not a man. In her thinking, this miracle can't happen unless a man does it. And that's how we think when we have issues right now. Unless my job gives me an increase, how am I going to get through 2020? Unless we find a better place. And we think in terms of men and what men can do. But this chapter is where we find that verse that says this. Luke 1:37. With God, nothing shall be impossible. She was thinking, I can't get pregnant. You may be thinking, I can't get a blessing unless it comes through a man. But God can do it directly. Did you know that? She said, I know not a man. That's the sign of a virgin. She had not had relations with a man. That's the sign of a virgin. She was saying, I know not a man, so this can't happen. But with God, all things are possible. Verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Let's say that together. Nothing. Yes. Amen. Whatever you're facing in 2020, nothing shall be impossible. You see, we would be saying in our heart, well, this can't happen unless some person, unless some human agent gets involved. And the angel said, no, just the Holy Spirit. That's all it takes. Just the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And what's conceived in you is going to be from God. Amen. The blessing really comes from God. He may come through a human person, but that's not where it originates from. Hallelujah. You see, for this to be a wedding, she had to be in the condition of purity. And that's why she said, I know not a man. And this is part of the sign of the virgin. We're talking this Sunday about the marriage supper, because at a wedding, the reason why brides wear white is to symbolize purity. That's where that all comes from, is wearing white. So let's look at the Jewish wedding. John chapter 2 verse 1 tells us something very interesting. This was really very early on in Jesus's ministry. He had just recently been baptized. He had just started in his ministry. He had not even done one miracle yet. But he still had disciples. And I think that is one of the most interesting things, is that there were followers of Christ before he had done a miracle. You know what that tells me? They had faith. In John chapter 2, verse 1, it tells us a story. And it says, on the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. Do you understand what it says? And his disciples. He had not done a single miracle yet. Yet he had followers. That means they just believed based upon his word. Based upon his word. There are people that only believe if they see something happen. But here were people who were following him based upon his word. How do we know this? Because this chapter goes on to tell us that as yet he had not done any miracles. Amen. So let's study this scripture. First of all, the Bible amazes me because it puts in little details. It tells us this was the third day. Now, when we have weddings today, usually they're on what day? Saturday, which is what day numerically? The seventh day. So today, most people have wedding ceremonies on a Saturday, which is the seventh day. Sunday being the first day. So this wedding, and this is interesting, because the Bible doesn't put stuff in there just for filling space. The Bible tells us that it was what? Third day. So Sunday being the first day, Monday being the second day, Tuesday being the third day. See, Tuesday, this week coming, will be the 31st, right? Well, in the Jewish tradition, that is the third day. Wouldn't it be great if that was the marriage supper? I tell you, something happened to me this week that I really had not felt before. Well, I'd felt it, but never this strongly. I can't even remember what day it was, and I don't even remember where I was, but I just felt this deep longing. Lord, when are you coming? I just wanted to be out of here. I just was tired of everything. I've never felt that. I said, Lord, just come now. Just come now. Just come now. Solve all the issues. Just come now. This world is just becoming a mess. And I just felt just this longing, Lord. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I just want you to come. And I know it was very selfish, but that's how I felt. Amen. So let's just look at this. Go back into this lesson here. So Sunday number one, Monday number two, Tuesday number three. So it was a Tuesday. I know I have Wednesday here, but ignore that. On the third day, there was a marriage in the Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Amen. Now, this thing about the third day is interesting because it's all through Scripture. We're talking about the marriage supper. Exodus 19:1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. What it's telling us that on the first day of the third month is when they reached this place called Sinai. They had left Egypt and it had taken them 49 days, well, actually 46 days. And they came into the camp before Mount Sinai on the 46th day from leaving Egypt, which was the first day of the third month. It had taken them two complete months to travel from Egypt to Sinai. And the Bible is very precise. It says they came into the wilderness of the Sinai the same day, meaning it was the first day of the third month. Now, what I want to tell you is that third month is the month that we celebrate Pentecost in. Remember, Passover, 50 days later, is what? Pentecost. So now they had traveled 46 days from leaving Egypt on the 15th of Abib, or 15th of Nisan, and they had reached the plain of Sinai with Mount Sinai. And God tells them, listen, in 3 days' time, be ready. Exodus 19:11. And be ready against the third day. You know why? There's a marriage supper going to happen. For the third day, the Lord will come down. I want the Lord to come down Tuesday night when we're having watch night service. The third day. The Lord is going to come down in the sight of all the people. Now, I don't know if the rapture is going to be on the third day. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, because the Bible seems to line up that with the third day. So in the third month, the first of the month, they reached. So that was 46 days. You can take the Jewish months and add them up, and you'll find it's 46 days. Because the Jewish months, the days are fixed. Amen. So it was 46 days, and God told him on the 49th day, I want Moses to come up. And on the 50th day, God wrote on the tablets of stone. Our day of Pentecost coincides with the giving of the law. The Bible said that there were trumpets, and he's going to come up and meet him up in the clouds. You see, the giving of the law was a symbol of the rapture. The law saved them in the Old Testament. The rapture is going to be the thing that takes us up to meet him in the air. Amen. Now you may say, what does that have to do with the virgin? Well, how it matches is because of the wedding. It was the third day for the wedding. Amen. Let's look at this, because that third day is a day of meeting and miracles. Let me show you what happens on the third day. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. Hezekiah, one of the good kings, was sick. And God had said, you know, Hezekiah, you're going to die. I'm going to allow you to die. But Hezekiah started to pray and seek God. The prophet came and talked to him and said, you're going to die. You better get all your stuff together, write your will. Before the prophet had left the gate, though, Hezekiah had prayed to God, and God turned the prophet around before he even left the building. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord. Do you understand that even if you die on the third day, you're going to be resurrected? Wasn't it the third day that Jesus was resurrected? Hezekiah, yes, you eventually will die, but don't worry, because there's a third day coming. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I will heal thee on the third day. That means even if we die, we don't die. Because on the third day, just like Jesus, we're going to rise again. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. I don't think that was a typo. I think God meant to symbolize what's going to happen on the third day. Because there's a wedding happening on the third day. I have heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. So today is the first day of the week, and that's when the church used to meet. But wouldn't that be great if Tuesday was the third day, when Jesus just decides, you know what? Time up. I want my bride. I want my church. Amen. I am just looking forward to it. There's nothing down here I want or ambitious for. Don't ask me about a five-year plan or where I will be, because I don't know. My only ambition is to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. I tell you, this third day thing concerning the marriage is a day of meeting and miracles. You won't be surprised then that it's throughout the whole Bible when God grants favors, when things get done, is actually on the third day. Esther had been told that Haman had plotted to destroy all the people, all of the Jews. And she told Mordecai, let's fast 3 days. And you know what? On the third day, I'm going to go before the king. I'm going to go before the king. Now it came to pass on the third day that the queen put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house. You know what he did? Sorry you can't see it. I forgot to do it. But she obtained favor. On the third day, he held out the scepter. Amen. You see, the wedding was on the third day. And this is the sign of the virgin. Amen. Let's go back to that story that we started with. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, there's something interesting about this, because a wedding in those days lasted how long? 7 days. Now, what's curious about this, if the wedding was on the Tuesday, right? So then you're going to have some part of this wedding fall on the Sabbath. You're going to have some part of this wedding fall on the Sabbath. Now, I assume they didn't run out of wine the first day of the wedding. That wouldn't have made much sense. But we know that at some point in this celebration, they ran out of the wine. And Mary came to Jesus and said, they have no wine. They have no wine. And he said, why have you come to get me to do stuff before my time? Why have you, but you know what? He did it. You know what she said? Whatever he says, do it. In 2020, that's what I want my attitude to be. Whatever he says, I want to do it. If you want the wine, if you want the blessing, whatever he says, do it. Even if it sounds stupid, even if it makes no sense to you, even if it's going in the wrong direction. Can you imagine these servants? They knew there was no wine. He wants us to go take the baptismal water. That's what it was. He wants us to take the baptismal water, vases where they put the baptismal water, and he wants us to fill it to the brim. All 6 of them. And there are 120 gallons to fill 6 of them. Isn't that crazy? Hey, but his mother said whatever he said, do it. She had never seen Jesus do a miracle either. Bible tells us this was his first. He had done nothing, but she believed. She knew who he was. Whatever he, you know how much faith that must have taken? She had never seen Jesus do. He was 30 years old. She had never seen him do a miracle, but she had heard him speak. She had known his ways. She had watched him grow. Amen. She had lived with him. When you live with someone, after a while, you get to know them. You can meet someone and they look all dressed up and okay, but living with them is a different matter. You all know that who've been married, right? Living with someone's a whole different ball of wax. Whatever he said, do it. This is the sign of the virgin. Amen. I want to tell you, there's something special about this number three when it comes to the marriage. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. After 2 days, see, they were out of wine. I believe it was on the third day from the wedding. I believe it was actually the Saturday they ran out of wine. The servants should not even have lifted those pots because it was probably the Sabbath. Whatever he says, do it. Here's what Hosea says. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up. You've been going through some trials and tribulations? Third day is coming, because that's part of the sign of the virgin, because it's part of the marriage ceremony. Amen. You've had a hard 2019. God has promised. As in the scripture says, though we be dead, yet shall we live. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. There's coming a third day. Amen. Let's go on with this. Amen. You notice it says that many people were called to this wedding. Many people were called. Matthew 22, 14. See, this wedding is not just a wedding. God chose this as a symbol of the marriage supper. It says both Jesus was called and his disciples called to the marriage. That's John chapter 2, verse 2. In Matthew 22, verse 14, he says, but many are called, but few are chosen. In the parable, in Matthew 22, when Jesus is speaking about another wedding, he says those that were called started to make excuses. I'm busy. I got to do this. I can't leave my family and come to this wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Isn't that interesting? It's like I said last week. When God told them to put the blood on the doorpost, you know what he was looking at when the angel passed over? He wasn't looking at who was in the house. He didn't check, are you good or bad? I'm going to let you live. I'm not going to let you live. No, he only looked at one thing. Was the blood upon the house? Is the blood upon the house? Because if it is, then the death angel would pass over. Isn't it interesting? He invited whosoever will. It said both good and bad, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, as you know, in those days, and today, of course, if you stand up for a wedding, most times you're expected to go buy your own tux, right? Or the women get their own dresses. But in those days, everybody who came was provided a wedding garment. Weddings were real expensive. So you had no excuse to say, I can't come because I don't have any clothes. You were going to be given a wedding garment. That was part of the wedding. And in this story, we are told that everyone who is invited to the wedding is going to be given the wedding garment. You know what that is? The righteousness of God. Revelation 19:8 says, to the bride, we're talking about the sign of the virgin, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Not my righteousness. Not your righteousness, not any good thing you have done, but his righteousness. Romans 3:21 says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. I believe Jesus loves me. I believe he's forgiven me. I believe he has given me grace. That's what salvation's about. Not my goodness, not my brilliance, not whatever. As I said, the angel didn't check who was in the house. I'm sure there was some. In fact, I know. The Bible says when they left Egypt, there was a mixed multitude. You know what that means? Plenty of Egyptians also escaped. They saw the miracles. They saw the 10 plagues. They said, you know what? I'm going to be an Israelite. Can I come into your house? What are you guys doing with this blood over the lintel? There's something going to happen tonight. Can I come into your house? The Bible said they left Egypt with a mixed multitude. God is no respecter of persons. Whosoever will. You see, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not by education. It's not by training. It's not by your parentage. It's not by your bloodline. It's by faith. Jesus was called to heal this Roman centurion's servant. And he was going to go. The centurion said, listen, I know how you Jews are, and I know you how you look that it's unclean to even come by my house. Listen, I'm a man with authority, and I understand when I say to this servant, go, he goes. What faith? He said to Jesus, I know that you just have to speak the word. Jesus had to stop and say, I've not seen such faith. There's only twice it says Jesus was astonished or marveled, and both of them were not Jews. This was the first. It said he marveled. He marveled. I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. He says, according to your faith. Can we go into 2020 with some faith and say, Lord, whatever you say about me is what is going to happen? If you say, I am blessed, I shall be blessed. If you say, I'm going to have favor, I'm going to have favor. See, at this marriage supper, which is the sign of the virgin, because you couldn't get married unless you were pure. He that cometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And here's the best part. And I will not blot out his name. This is why we rejoice. Not because of blessing, really. That's great. Not because of all God's favor. Not because we even have gifts or talents. Not because you command some healing and it happens. Not because you cast out some demons and it happens. Jesus told his disciples, that's great that you're rejoicing and all of that. But listen, I tell you what you should really rejoice about. That your name, say my name, is written, hallelujah, in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I will confess his name. There's going to be some speeches at this marriage. You know, usually when there's a wedding and they go to the supper, then the best man and the chief start to say some words. Jesus said, I'm going to say some words. I'm going to call out your name. Before my Father. And before his angels, I'm going to say your name. Jesus is going to be a name dropper. Amen. He's going to call out your name. You see, we can't come to that wedding unless we put on the wedding garment. Romans 13:14 says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I really want to be dressed in 2020. Because if you're not dressed in 2020, it may be you have to run to go find the clothes and it'd be too late. You see, when they came up to Mount Sinai, God gave them 3 days warning. It said, be ready. When? On the third day. Okay, you've come to Sinai, you've left Egypt, you've spent 2 months coming through the desert. You're now up right to the place I want you now. I'm giving you 3 days to prepare. You know what they had to do? They had to wash. They had been on a journey. They had all gotten dirty and tired. He gave them 3 days. They had to wash their clothes. They had to make sure that they were in the right attitude, because on the third day, I'm going to come down. I'm going to meet you on Mount Sinai. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Romans 13:14 says. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. How do we put it on? Well, hopefully next week, Sunday, first Sunday of 2020, we're going to be putting on some wedding garments. We're going to be having some baptisms. Amen. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. So all of you today who have been baptized in Jesus' name are wearing Christ. I can't see it, but he can. You have the wedding garment. Amen. And it's important because the king saw someone that was at the trying to get into the feast and didn't have the wedding garment on. And said to them, friend, how did you get in here? What are you doing in here? Don't you know we gave everyone a free wedding garment? All you had to do was put it on. All you had to do was accept it. Throw him out. I'm afraid this is a by invitation only. There's no gate crashes allowed. You can't just show up in your own clothes. You can't bring your own stuff. You know, I heard a story about a very exclusive restaurant, and these two guys, they had some packed lunches, and they were looking for somewhere to eat and say, hey, let's go in here and sit down and eat our stuff. So they went in the restaurant, and they opened up their lunch bags and just sat down, started eating. So the waiter came to them and said, hey, you can't come in here and be eating your own food. So they looked at each other, and they swapped bags and kept on eating. They were no longer eating their own food. But that won't work. That won't work at the marriage supper. I think the story then went that they were then thrown out. Try to get cute. Some people try to gate crash the wedding and try and get cute, hoping no one will know them because it could be the friend of the bride or friend of the groom. You've been to weddings where there's some people you don't know, right? And that's why people gate crash weddings, because they think someone will think they're from the other group. And in a lot of weddings, people get away with it. There's people that do that on a Saturday. They look in the paper, look for weddings, and they just show up. And nobody says a word. But in olden times, you couldn't get away with it, because you had to have the wedding garment. You had to have the wedding garments. See, let me show you. In the Old Testament, see, God has already mapped this out. When Samson was going to get married, they said, well, that's fine if you want to get married, but you're going to have to furnish all the wedding garments. And that was going to be a lot of money. So, you know, Samson took the shortcut. He went and he slew 30 Philistines and took their garments. He took their garments. You want a wedding here? I'm not sure I'd have been comfortable with those garments. But then he put forth a riddle. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If he can certainly declare it to me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. So he had to go and get the garments because his wife betrayed him. You know the story. So that just shows you that was the practice. You couldn't come to the wedding without the wedding garment, but it was provided for you. Amen. Kind of rushing because we're running out. Judges 14:19, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and he slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up into his father's house. Amen. Now, I want to show you something about this 3 days, because it's here too. Anytime there's a wedding, look at this. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. But they could not, in 3 days, expound the riddle. See, on the third day, he says he's going to raise us up. If you could stand with me. I know I rushed through this. And this is the last one of the sign of the virgin. But you know what? I have a message for you in service too. So, amen. I've got a message from the Lord for you in service too. Revelation 19:9. Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto them, these are the true sayings of God. Are you blessed today? Because you have been called. You have an invitation. You know, when you get an invitation, you're supposed to RSVP. That's French. I'm not going to say it. It's, I think, respondez, s'il vous plaît, or if you want to say it funny way, respond silver plate or whatever. But God has given us an invitation. He has provided the wedding garment because this is part of the sign of the virgin. The very first scripture I read was about Mary and the blessing of the birth that she was going to have. She gave the sign of the virgin because she told the angel, "I know not a man." How is this going to happen? See, we're looking for a blessing from men. She thought, the only way I can get pregnant is through a man. No, God can give you a blessing directly. That is the sign of the virgin. I think we're so blessed, those of us who are here today, to be able to say, I was in church on the Lord's Day. I was in church on the first Sunday of 2019. And I'm in church on the last Sunday of 2019. Because that's where you get revelation. John said, I was on the Isle of Patmos. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day. That's when he got revelation. That's when he got insight. That's when he got blessing. Amen. So those of us who are here today, we can say we were in church on the Lord's Day. On the first day of the week. And you know what? In 3 days' time, we're going to be in church again. Wouldn't that be just so awesome if the Lord were to come? Amen. On the last day of 2019. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. If you could stand with me, we're going to close this service. Amen. But I want you to know, God has made provision. We've been invited to the marriage supper. And he, as I said, he gave them 3 days' notice. He said, now you've come. It's 46 days. Get ready on the third day. It's going to be a wedding. Jesus was invited and his disciples. Hallelujah. I want to make sure that my invitation. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election sure. If you could bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you today for your word, for your mercy and your grace, for your covering. Hallelujah. For your invitation. Lord, help us, I pray, to with joy, hallelujah, draw water from the wells of salvation. Lord, oh God, that we will put on the wedding garment, that we will be ready on the third day. Lord God, we just thank you for taking us through. Lord, I pray you continue, Lord God, till this year be closed or until you come in the clouds. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for blessing. We thank you for favor. We thank you for grace. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands. Let's give God a praise offering. Hallelujah. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.